B62. Number 5A.
Yeah, yeah. It's that's why I said it. Yeah. Well, naturally, if you have in the 5000 period that ideas resolve illusions, naturally you can say that the one life is resolving the mortal sense of life, and therefore the laying down of the mortal sense of life, so that small L life comes out. But we said, but the main point is, in order to do that, it's a 6,000 year period, because we can only do that if we have the whole structure of understanding.
Yeah.
See, we are asking what is the form of understanding that is necessary. You see, the form of understanding must be a structural understanding. The outcome is that actually we get closer and closer together between symbol and reality. Now, we make a break. All set. We go a step further and look at the 7,000 year period from another standpoint, from the standpoint of healing. Healing.
Healing?
Yes, of healing. Yes. We didn't. We didn't finish that one.
Sorry.
Yes. 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 Well, I think we can finish that very quickly because we know what it is. Huh? We said in the 6,000 year period, it is the form of understanding must be the structure. Hmm? But naturally, it is a structure of principle and idea. It's actually that understanding which we have in the epitome book, that we can see that we understand through the structure where all the three categories of being, capital B, all the three categories of being are understood through the ideas that characterize the three categories. Is that clear? It's really our present age where we are teaching mind and what are mind's ideas. What is spirit and what are spirit's ideas? What is the word and how does the word express itself? What is the Christ? How does the Christ express itself? Through which ideas? Through translation and so on. What is Christianity? That Christianity expresses itself through ideas of Christianity. And so is science. Then we were interested in the four levels of science, and we are saying we define those four levels of science through specific ideas that characterize each level. So, can you see at, what we did was to build up a structure of consciousness of the capitalized terms through the ideas of the capitalized terms. That's the point, through the ideas of it. And we have the epitome book that's really perhaps a symbol for that. Whereas when we come to the 7,000 year period, we said, then really even the ideas are obsolete. Then our consciousness has grasped the capitalized terms in such a way that we don't think anymore specifically about the ideas. So that when we think about mind, we don't have to think about the ideas of mind. They are included in the whole tone of mind. We say mind, and I see the whole intelligence of mind operating as ideas, illumining everything. In a creative way, therefore being intelligent and active and powerful and enlightening everything. I just see the whole range of ideas of mind with one tone. So I get away from terms to tones of the synonyms. So that in the 7,000 year period, I really begin to grasp reality through the tonality of the capitalized terms. That's then the form of my consciousness. That clear? Mm-hmm. Oh, it has to be.
Uh-huh.
Yes. You see, it's again, I must catch up with the sixth, or I can't explain the seventh. When you came to us as students, we said to you, you know, there are three categories in being, of being. Those three categories of being are the seven synonymous terms, the four sides of the holy city, and the four levels of consciousness. And we said, but you don't know what they mean. They are terms to you. In order that you understand, you come to the form of understanding, in order that you understand those three categories and what these terms mean, we're going to explain to you these terms through the ideas which characterize these terms. So you went and went through all the references on mind in the textbook, didn't you? Or not? All the references of spirit, you see, and making a list of ideas. So we began to learn or to get hold of the capitalized terms, not through the capitalized terms, but through the ideas characterizing the capitalized terms, in order to have a defined sense of each term. That's typical for the 6,000-year period. But then we were teaching, and also you see it in the synonym book, that this is only an analysis, really, of the capitalized terms. That is not yet really an understanding of it, a consciousness of it, an awareness of it, a feel of it. So that once we have analyzed these terms through the ideas, we call that concept building. We had a concept of mind through the concepts of the ideas characterizing mind. Then we said, then must come a further point. We have to think about these ideas and turn them in our mind and turn them over and see what they mean, what they express, how they hinge together, how they link together, in order to get the tone, not of the ideas, but of mind. So the compound of all the ideas of mind is the tone mind. And we did that with all the capitalized terms, that we were thinking them over through the ideas. That was our teaching. Then we said, but once we get the tone of mind, or the tone of the capitalized term, then we don't need the ideas anymore. I mean, they still are there, they still characterize the synonymous term, but we don't have to think about them in detail. They are in one tone. Therefore, the ideas can drop from our consciousness. And that is going into the 7,000-year period, where we just have the capitalized terms that stand for God, and we don't need to know anything besides God. Thou shalt have but one God. And so in the 7,000-year period, we are so aware of the capitalized term, their meaning, their touch, their warmth, their roundness, that we don't need anymore to think specifically about the ideas. Yes? Is that clear? See, and this is what is the word. Yeah, first Inky, quickly. Yeah.
Yes. Because the tone doesn't come until it's one with consciousness.
Yes.
And that third step then that we had in that discipline was really an outcome of how well we had done our work with concept building and tonality building.
Yes.
So because you can't possibly be aware of that tone without it being an immaterial thing. It's about thinking and feeling.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And so that is quite a bit to expect unless you have done a lot of practice.
Yes. Who was over here? Yeah. Thank you, Hinky.
It's along the same lines when you said something about the concept building being in the sixth. Could you relate perhaps the difference between the sixth and the seventh to the four here of concept building, tonality building, consciousness building, being building, where does the sixth leave off with tonality building or with concept building? Or is that... they don't relate.
They do relate, but they are not really of the exactly of the same category. There are two different categories, but they have a point of intersection, because along with concept building, you could not enter the 7,000-year period. Because there are only ideas and concepts. In order, as Inke has said, it must be consciousness, it must be a feel, it must be something right above words and letters, and above the letter and terms, above concepts. We do not arrive at that without that culture of the concept building plus molding it over, pondering it, which is the bridge to tonality. The moment you touch tonality, you touch, in a way, the 7,000-year period. But what really happens there with this category of these four, concept building, tonality building, consciousness being, being building, has to do with us. You see, it's a different category than just the sound. It has to do with us. What happens to us? First, what happens to us in concept building is that we get away from human conceptions, or that our consciousness is cleared from human concepts, from mortal concepts, and our consciousness is now filled, first of all, with divine concepts. Yes? What happens to us if we ponder them? This concept becomes music, becomes tone, becomes music. You hear mind, or perhaps more than to see mind, you hear spirit. Becomes your music just tones, where there is nothing more involved in our mind that thinks about terms, different terms, like power and creation and law and intelligence and so on. It's a divine music that begins to happen within us. That divine music gives us a new consciousness. See? Not the new thinking. See, here we come to that point. Somebody had asked about consciousness, understanding, and identity and mind. See, here comes in this very point. What is the difference? That consciousness is not thinking about things consciously. It is much higher, that divine consciousness. It's when you have the music of the capitalized term, the music of it, that you have a new consciousness. And a consciousness is something that is a reflex consciousness. It's not a logic thinking consciousness. It's not the... now here I have not the right terms in English. You don't think about things, about terms, about ideas. It's not that consciousness, that thinking about something. But consciousness means that there is inward within us a atmosphere that is just an atmosphere which has a great differentiation of tones without thinking out terms. Gosh, this is difficult to explain, isn't it? Huh? But can you feel what I mean? Huh? Yes, Maria?
Yeah, would that be sometimes, you know, I've closed the loft for so many years that they've almost become part of my being, and sometimes I'm just there, I'm not thinking anything, but I know I'm in a particular loft.
Yeah.
You're just aware of the fact.
It's an awareness, yeah.
That
yeah.
You're in that place, that law is working for you, even though you're not thinking anything.
Yes. That is it, you see. That's all of that state, therefore, that then can react naturally, without thinking, without analysis, on something that is wrong.
Yes.
You see, something happens that is wrong, a mentality or something, and it reacts within us because it has a sound, it's like a sounding board or a reflector in one that just can say, go, there is something wrong, this is all wrong, without reasoning it out. You see, it's that spiritual sense atmosphere which is in you as a conscious present attitude or awareness. Huh? So that's a higher state than just building tonality. Huh? It becomes, so to say, your own awareness.
I'm
going to
ask a question that I would think would be sacrilegious, except we don't believe it.
We like sacrilegious questions.
Then is it possible that one could know or meet a consciousness that would have the tonality of the seven without going through this?
No. This is the point. You see, I must make one exception. See, this is the great thing. I think Dunui starts his book out with that. He says, there are two ways of enlightenment, of knowing. The one is revelation, and the one is reason. He starts right out with that. How on earth do we get enlightenment and so on? That's what everybody wants to have. And he says there are two. The one is revelation, the one is reason. Revelation is something that may happen every 1,000 years to one person. Reason is that which everybody can handle. Or the way of reason, the road of reason is this other book, is that way which gives a method that everyone can know reality. Now, the point is, we have a textbook and a Bible, and both are expression of revelation, not of reason. They are direct revelation. They are that which you say, is it possible that we can have these tones without reasoning? I said, no, except those rare occasions where somebody is so transparent that they can hear God speak without having to reason it out, or where they write a book like the textbook in spite of themselves or against their reason, even that, so that is possible, but we feel that we are not belonging to that kind of it because we actually don't do it. We actually are not proving that we don't need the textbook, that we are not proving that actually we don't need the Bible. We are here where we are because we know the textbook. We didn't... Because we don't have that terrific revelation that makes it unnecessary to go the road of reason or the road of understanding. If we would have that, we would not be sitting here. We would write say, our own revelation. And it may easily be possible that there is coming somebody, even here in this age, who may perhaps write a bigger textbook than Mrs. Eddy. That's absolutely possible. I would say in a certain length of time, it must be. No matter if that length of time is 50 years or 200 years or 500 years. Because revelation is always possible. But when I say revelation, that's why I ask you to read also that thing about interpretation. We have to be very careful what we mean with revelation, so that we don't mix up revelation with interpretation. With inspiration, when we talk about revelation, then we do not mean that some wonderful idea has come to us, that some wonderful insight has come to us, that one wonderful inspiration has come to us, that suddenly the answer to a situation has come to us. This we cannot call revelation. That's too small for a revelation. That's an inspiration, that's the influx of the Christ idea revealing something to us, but is not what we may call really a revelation. A revelation is the paradigm shift of greatest magnitude. See, it's bringing to the world something which transcends, yes, you can say, transcends what the world at whole has known up to now. See, so actually I would say a Christian Science textbook is a revelation. Because it does not repeat really the consciousness that has been attained up to that point through the 1,000-year periods. It's of a much higher, greater, broader magnitude. It really shifts the whole frame of consciousness, the structure of consciousness, right upside down or to a different shift, and something completely new is shown. So when we talk in general way, in the language of what you call it, everyday life, and say, well, this is a wonderful revelation, or I had a wonderful revelation, we easily can say that, but we must be aware that that is not a revelation of any magnitude. They are all revelations that are only possible on the ground that we knew the system. Yeah? That's why Mrs. Eddy says, this is the point, that science reveals and not God reveals. This has hit me right from the beginning of my studies. That for the first time somebody comes and says, science reveals, and not God reveals. If she had said, God reveals, then we would have said, okay, then I must wait until God gives me a revelation. And I can't do a thing about it. But if she says, science reveals, I can say, science I can learn. I can learn science, I can understand science, that I can do. And then that science will reveal. You see? Can you see the point? Can you see what I said? Yesterday, I think it was, perhaps it didn't come out clear enough, where we said, we must find a method also that the idea can evolve. That even if it's not in big leaps like a revelation that Mrs. Eddy had, but smaller revelations, smaller leaps, say those leaps within the system of science, you see, as John Dolly had, one of those leaps was when he asked that simple question, is there no order in being? Is there no order in being? Simple question, but that was a quantum leap, huh? Right out of the ordinary, but it was within the system. He didn't what he found out was not a revelation from God. He found it in the textbook. But the question he asked was big enough to bring about some kind of evolution in the idea of Christian Science. Because right from that point on, from order, he could see more orders, categories, categories, structure, and so on. Is that clear about your question? You know, therefore we must be careful not to think that we can really develop or evolve the science of Christian Science without going through the method of understanding. It doesn't come... I have to be careful. Naturally, you see, that question that John Dolly had, suddenly, is there no order? That did not come from as an extrapolation of his study. That came bang in, vertically bang in. But it only could come bang in because there was a prepared ground. It doesn't come to somebody else. Just as any discovery in any field of science, see, say the theory of relativity, couldn't come to a biologist or to an anthropologist, because he doesn't have the prepared ground in physics. Only the physicist can have a new revelation, so to say, in physics. So there are two factors working together. The one factor is to get clear and pure in the established categories or in the established knowledge, in the paradigm where we are, to get that purer and purer. And the second is that then we are prepared for such a vertical influx of a new question. It's usually not even the answer, it's the question that comes. If it's the right question, the answer shows itself. So we must see that the culture of the system is done lovingly and tenderly and warmly and not like in a straight jacket and cold and word-wise and term-wise. But then if we do that, if we stick to the simplicity of the system, then I think that can happen then to anyone, that suddenly a completely new question comes in. Yesterday you had asked, what is the difference between John Dolly's time and our time in the way of science? What is new? And we numbered quite a few things that were new. When I look back, these new things, this influx of a new method, or the influx of how to approach suddenly a question completely different and gave an answer, I can trace it every time to the fact that these new things came because I was culturing the old paradigm clear enough. See? For instance, take things like what you already know and what was bothering us over many, many years,